The words of God given to us today is Acts chapter 16, verse 16 to 25. It is on the page 215 on the New Testament. Allow me to read. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face authorities. They brought them before the magistrate and said, "These men are Jews, and they're throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrate ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them into the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. I have visited Rwanda, located in the Mid-Africa continent, from June 11th to 16th for 5 nights and 6 days, invited by World Vision to participate in the project held by CBS and World Vision to share the global happiness. The purpose of the global project was to promote the spirit of sharing for people in the Africa who are suffering from hunger, disease, disaster, and wars with Korean church and Christians through a program called Guard Angel. There will be a CBS TV Guard Angel program on CBS, which will be shown on the August 27th on the TV. In that program, you can see whom I've met and what I have done in Rwanda during my visit. What I want to share with you today is what happened in Rwanda 18 years ago. It was a massive massacre. Rwanda is made up of 85% of Hutu tribe, 14% Tutsi tribe, and 1% of Twa tribes. Proportionally, Hutu tribe are the majority of the population. But despite of that, traditionally, Tutsi has been the rulers, which are the minority of the population. Because of this, there always has been tension and conflict between them. As Tutsi, being the majority, was being ruled, whereas the Tutsi, being the minority, were the rulers. In 1962, Rwanda gained independence from Belgium. And after 11 years in 1973, Hutu tribe seized power through coup d'etat. But Hutu president was assassinated in 1994, April 6th. They assumed that it would be by the Tutsi tribe. And it was the start of the massive massacre of Tutsi tribe. The majority of Hutu slaughtered all Tutsi tribe and also other Hutus who were helping this Tutsi tribe. This took place not just in one city, but all over the country for 3 months. During this 3 months' time, about 50,000 to 1 million people were killed. It averages to 8,000 to 10,000 people killed per day. Rwanda is about the size of Gyeongsang province. And you can imagine that the whole country must have turned into a slaughterhouse everywhere. Because of this historical tragedy, one can easily find many massacre memorial towers all over Rwanda. One of them are placed in the Tarama near the capital of Rwanda, Kigali. Tarama Memorial Tower was originally a Catholic church, which is not fancy nor grandiose. It is just a house on a hill with a mud floor and wall and roof. It's a simple construction. In 1994, when there was a massive massacre by Hutus, 5,000 Tutsis escaped to the church. But the Tarama church priests were Hutus, and they collaborated with other Hutus. And they broke the rule that they should be protecting Tutsis who are in need of shelter. So in order to help the other Hutus, they killed all of the 5,000 Tutsi tribes in the church. The holy church has become a slaughterhouse with strong smell of blood. Now it has become the memorial tower, but when you go inside the building, there are skulls of some of the slaughtered people. All the skulls were damaged. They're either cracked or sunk down in the middle or have holes or hit by bats or torn by a sword or arrows. On the walls and roof, their clothes displayed. All this show how terrible the massacre in the church was at that time. In that memorial tower, on the very front side of the wall, there is a podium which has been used during that time. And in front of the podium, there is a sentence in Rwandan which says, "If you know yourself and if you know me, then you won't kill me." This is a very insightful statement derived from the turmoil of that tragic massacre. The state means that if you know that you yourself is a human and that I am also a human like you, then you cannot kill another human like me. This is so right. When one knows that he or she is a human and that the other person is a human also, then how can a human kill another human? The killing can only happen under two circumstances. Either the person who is being killed is considered as an animal, or the person who kills has become an animal himself. The Hutu tribe killed Tutsi tribe for 3 months, killing about 800,000 to 1 million. Could they have considered them as human? No, they must have seen them as animals needing to be slaughtered. Tutsi tribe ran into the church thinking that church could be shelters for them. But they killed those people also. How would that appear to the eyes of God? They thought the church would be the safe place and would be able to protect them. But that Tamara Catholic Church joined up with Hutu tribe and killed all them. And how can those Catholic priests appear in the eyes of God? God created man in the beginning of the history. Humans are God's creation. Therefore, man needing to know that they are created and God is the creator is very important. And with this belief, man can trust and love the Creator and humans who are created. The Bible not only asks us to love God, but also to love other humans as well. Jesus says that love for God and love for man are both the essence of the Bible. If I truly love God, or if I have gained God's love, then that amount of love should be extended to others as well. Love for God without love for man is not possible. And love for man without knowing love for God is also incomplete. To a Christian who believes in God, their love for man is so essential. Then how can we begin the love for man? It starts with getting to know yourself and that others are also human, just like yourself. If you know this truth, you can never kill nor trample over them for your own greed. Paul stayed at Lydia's house as Lydia persuaded him persistently after she accepted the gospel and got baptized. And they met a girl who was possessed by spirit on his way to the place of prayer. People's reaction to someone who was possessed are usually two different ways. Either they fear them or treat them as contaminated or filthy being. Thus, they were usually taken away from the family and kept isolated. However, the girl whom Paul and his companions met was different. Let's look at verse 16. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. Instead of isolating her, there were people who had employed the girl who was possessed with a spirit. It was because the girl who had spirit could tell the future with the help of this spirit. She was not employed by one person, but by many, as the scripture says, owners, in plural form. Some people had employed her in partnership and was earning a great deal of money using her. What would be the reason for this? Would that be because that was for the benefit of the girl who had spirit, or because they had pity on her and they had no other ways to help her but help her to earn money? It is not so. As we have seen last week, this girl saw Paul and the company and shouted, "These men are servants from the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She was shouting this to everyone. This did not end on that day. Day after day, the girl shouted the same thing every time she met Paul and his company. The girl who was possessed could call Paul and his companions servants of God. And here God in Greek is Theos. The word Theos in Philippians, which referred, Theos was not a word referred to God, but referred to Zeus from the Greek mythology, instead of the Trinity God. Thus, the girl had shouted and called Paul and his company as servants of Zeus, the servant who are following in faith of Zeus. Because of this, Paul was very troubled. He wanted to save the poor girl who is possessed by the spirit and shouting what is false as if it was truth. And he wanted to save her. But if he did so, he knew that he cannot avoid conflict with those who were using her to earn money. But Paul did not refrain and made the evil spirit leave the girl in the name of Jesus Christ. The result of his action is described in verse 19. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. Those who have employed her had not a bit of pity for her. If they had, then shouldn't they be so happy for her being freed from the spirit? Instead, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. The word agora refers to a place for a market and also place for trials and meetings. It's a public place. Paul's company was made up of four people, with Silas, Timothy, and Luke. However, why did the owners of the girl only take Paul and Silas to the agora? And why did they accuse Paul and Silas only and imprison them? We will look at details about this next week. Today, we are interested why the owners of the girl took Paul and Silas Chogra accused them, framed them, and jailed them, even though they have freed this poor girl from the spirit. There are four men in Paul's group. If they are all standing together, it would be difficult to tamper all the four young men. Nevertheless, the owners of the girl dragged Paul and Silas among the four young men to the agora. Like dogs, they were dragged them. They were such violent men. Why were they so violent and aggressive against Paul and Silas? This is because, as a consequence of Paul freeing the girl from the evil possessed spirit, they had no way to earn money anymore. And that is the sole reason, because of the money. If they considered them, the girl, as a human, this wouldn't be possible. If they considered themselves as human beings and that girl was also a human just like themselves, they could not have done what they did to her. To them, she was just like a monkey or bear who earned money for the owners by playing tricks. They might have earned a large amount of money through those evil and violent methods, but how would they be appeared to the eyes of God? Wouldn't they be like a beast in the eyes of God, so inhuman, so animal-like? Since they were so bestial and animal-like, they used violence even to Paul and Silas, who have freed the girl from the evil spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. With their aggression and violence, they killed Paul and Silas in different means, although it wasn't with sword or knife. Their lack of this humanness and their irrational way of living was not because they were not Christians. Being Christians could be helped, but it's not the absolute condition. 5,000 people died in massacre in the Catholic Church at Tarama in Rwanda. It was not a massacre derived from a conflict between believers versus non-believers. It was a mass slaughter collaborated by the priests who are supposed to believe in the Trinity God. Seven percent of the people of Rwanda are Catholic. 37% are Protestants. In total, 94% of the whole population is Christian in Rwanda. It is such a tragedy in which Christians killing another Christians. At least 800,000 people to maximum of 1 million people in 3 months' time. Christians who need to practice love for God and love for man has been killing each other, who are human just as themselves. Is that because they were Africans, they were different? It is not so. The cause of this racial conflict that led to the massive genocide in Rwanda dates back to the days of colonial rule under Belgium. Rwanda was originally colonized by Germany, but after losing the World War I, Germany withdrew from Africa. And from 1919 to 1962, Rwanda was under the colonial rule of Belgium. To control Rwanda effectively, Belgium bestowed power to minority Tutsi to rule over the majority Hutu. And consequently, racial conflict between the minority and majority was a matter of time as the ruling of the majority by the minority became fixed. And it was predicted. The contributors to many racial conflicts, power struggles, civil wars in African continent are the European nations such as UK, France, and Belgium who invaded the African continent. These countries are nations who claim to be proud of their Christian faith and who claim to be civilized believers. How can a Christian nation exploit another nation by force and enslave their people and infringe their rights? It is because they did not treat the African people as the same people like themselves. And the European Christians, they're dressed well on Sunday worship and they praise and pray to God. Even though they do that, would they look good in the eyes of God? Nazi also mistreated people created by God. How would they appear to the eyes of God? They killed 6 million people. And Nazi is not a country of non-believers. They were a Christian country. And many of the Nazi people belonged to Christian church in Germany. And they killed 6 million Jewish because they did not see Jewish as humans. God wouldn't consider one as humans if they treat others inhumanly who are precious creatures to men, creations of God. The people who have used the people who can treat others as humans just as they themselves are humans, that is true faith of Christianity as well. If they don't know the others or take the others as humans, they're just same as the people who have used the possessor in the script and the people who have invaded Africa and manipulated Africans and the people just like Nazis who have slaughtered massive people. To the eyes of God, they're all same in the sense that they have treated humans not in a human, very in a wrongful way. In this perspective, Paul was a true Christian. Paul, who has evicted the evil spirit from the girl, was seized by the employers of the girl and was dragged like dogs to the agora with Silas. Paul knew that he would face such negative consequence and humiliation if he expelled the spirit from the girl. That's why he had troubled mind and gave a serious thought to this. Nevertheless, Paul saved her from the owners because he knew God who created human, and he knew that he himself was a creation by God. Therefore, the girl is also a precious human whom God created. Paul was a true Christian who knew this. Faith is to know God, who is a creator of us, and to know that others are created by God just as oneself. Loving God and loving others is only possible for those who have such understanding and such faith. Kigali Genocide Memorial Tower is also located in the capital city of Kigali in Rwanda. The testimonies of those who have survived the genocide is televised as a video in one of the rooms. One woman testifies. At that time, 5% of the people were good. 5% were neutral, and the remaining 90% of the people were all evil. ₹85% of the Rwanda population were killed. By Hutus, rounding up 800,000 to a maximum of 1 million Tutsi in 3 months' time, unless they're possessed by evil. On the other hand, just to note that there are 5% who are good in the midst of that evilness, and that gives me some hope. Those were the ones who sheltered, hid, or protected the Tutsi people. The Hutu who protected the Tutsi were slaughtered by Hutu as well. When those 5% of good Hutus protected Tutsi, they knew that the consequence would be death as well. They put their lives in front to protect the Tutsi tribes. 94% of the Rwandans are Christians. Only 5% among them were genuine Christians, true Christians. They were the ones who knew God in a true way as a creator of human beings. They knew that Tutsi were also creations of God, just as themselves, Hutus. It is this 5% of genuine true Christians who can bring the true reconciliation between the Hutus and Tutsi tribes sometime in the future. There are people who are held in high esteem by the people but are appeared like animals in the eyes of God. On the other hand, there are people who are dragged like animals and executed miserably but are true, the truest human beings to the eyes of God. Faith is to know the God as our sole creator and be the creation by God. And it is to know that the others are human creations just as I am, created by God. People with such faith will not trample others to fulfill one's own greed. If they know this fact, they will rather become genuine Christians, just like Paul, who saved people from being trampled and exploited. The person who practices God's love is whom the God is pleased with. Let's pray. Thank you for letting me realize why my interpersonal relationships are so unfunctional and so distorted, and why I cannot even love my own family despite the fact that I am a Christian who believes in God. It was because I have not been aware of the fact that they are humans just as I am, although it is such a basic and profound notion. It is why I try to manipulate others to fill up my own greed, sometimes by trampling on them, sometimes just denying them. I'm sure that my life of denier must have seemed like animal in your eyes. Please forgive me. Jesus came to this world as a human, son of human, and showed us in person how to live as a human. Jesus loved all the invalid, the ignorant, the poor, as equally as himself, and sacrificed himself to save them. The reason why Jesus did so was because he knew that it was God's will to love and save the people. Faith is to know God who created humans. Let us not forget that I was created by God, and other people are also the human creation just as I am. With such faith, please make us not manipulate nor trample others for the sake of inhumane matters. And please make us be the Paul of this age who can help others and save others from all suppression. Therefore, make us love God and others and please God until the end of our life. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.